Absolutely. So I remember many years ago, Talmud Chacham told me on Pesach morning, we were walking to shul, so he told me that he made a mistake in Kiddush. He forgot that it was Shabbos, and he started saying Bar Pi Avachim with the Yantav Diganigin, and then he realized that he forgot to say Vaychulu, so he said Vaychulu right away, in between the Bar Pi Avachim and the Brachah Kiddush. So the Din Al Pi Pashta says that that's a hepsik, that's not correct. The reciting of the Vaychulu right before, that's not really an intrinsic part of the Kiddush. The Gemara says that you say Vaychulu on Friday night. So we really say it in shul. We say it in the davening once, then we say it because when Yom Tov falls out on Shabbos, you don't say the Shabbos because davening, you say Hatavah Hatan Kolam, you say the Yom Tov because davening, which doesn't have Vaychulu. That's why we repeat the Vaychulu after davening to cover that situation. So when Yom Tov Chol is b'Shabbos, you don't say Vaychulu on davening, so you say it after the davening. And we always say it after the davening every Shabbos, so we're already ahead. We already said it a second time. Then when we come home, we say it a third time. We say, Gor, Leila, Leila. We say three times, Vaychulu. But really, you don't have to say Vaychulu as part of the Kiddush. It's a minute that we say it right before the Kiddush. If somebody forgets to say it before the Bar Pi Avachim, he certainly shouldn't say it till after he drinks the wine. And then, Hechateisa, then he should stand up and say Vaychulu. If his minute is to say Vaychulu standing up. The post can point out that whenever one person... Shabbos. It's Shabbos.
But don't you use
the same
word? Don't you use the same
No. Friday night you do say no. And yeah. You don't say dog and others. Right, right.
You usually say
in shul. In the Shulchan Aruch, the Rambam quotes such a meaning that since the Gemara says that reciting by Chulu is like testifying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, so you should have two witnesses for you. So that meaning of the Rambam, and not everybody has that meaning, and even the Rambam only has that meaning in Shul, doesn't have it at home. People recite Kiddush at home, the Yechidus also. The Post can point out that whenever you recite Kiddush and whenever you recite a bracha to be made to the other people, so the other people should only say Amen, they shouldn't say Baruch Hu V'Ruch Shemoi. In fact, some are of the opinion that even B'di'evit, if he said Baruch Hu V'Ruch Shemoi, that would constitute a hefsek and would have to recite the bracha over again. That's what Moshe Feinstein wrote, Zechon Baruch Hu wrote in his Sforim, that if one wants to be Yoyt the Kiddush from someone else, or Baruch Hu Kiyah Shoif or whatever, and he says Baruch Hu V'Ruch Shemoi, it's a hefsek and you have to repeat the bracha over again. Many other poskim disagree. They quote that in the Beis Medrash of the Chassam Sefer, they always used to say Baruch Hu V'Ruch Shemoi. When the Baal Tekeh would say the bracha on Tkiyah Shefer, when the Baal Kairah would say the bracha on Mikra Megillah, and the Chassam Sofer wasn't Meicha, apparently he was of the opinion that it's not a hefstik, and other Gedolim also were of the opinion that it's not a hefstik. So to go so far to say that even B'di'evit, you're not yet say that's already, that's a big chiddush, but Al Pi Pashtus L'Hatchila, at least L'Hatchila, we assume that it's not proper for everybody to answer Baruch Hu V'Shmei in the middle of a bracha that you want to be yetzer with, unless you're going to say the bracha yourself. Then it says in Shulchan Aruch that you say Baruch Hu V'Shmei when someone else says the bracha. Rabbi Avad Yosef printed a Haggadah many, many years ago, 25 years ago. He printed a Haggadah that made a big hit. And then it was reprinted, several times after. So one of the famous pieces that he has in his Haggadah is about the bracha of Bor Pri HaGofen. Whenever the word is really Geffen, but whenever it comes at the end of a sentence, then you say Gofen, like you say Eretz, and when it comes at the end of a sentence, you say Oretz. So by the Sephardim, they have the practice of saying Bor Pri HaGefen. So he has to stand on his head to try to explain why they have that meaning. So he quotes that somebody had told him, I don't know, the one who told him is not as famous as Rav Avadya Yosef. Some Talmud Chacham had told him that the explanation is the following, that whenever one says a bracha for others, it depends what he's saying, Kiddush to be made to other people, he's saying for yourself. So this Talmud Chacham told Rav Avadya Yosef, when you say Kiddush for yourself, the meaning ought to be, even by the Sephardim, that they should say, but when you're saying Kiddush for others and they're going to answer Amen, and the Gemara says in Brachas, and it's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, that when you say a Bracha Bar Pi HaGofen, you have to wait till after they say Amen before you drink the wine. Because their answering Amen is considered a Gemar of your Bracha. And just like they're supposed to be Mechavan to your Bracha if they want to drink the wine, so you have to be Mechavan to their Amen also. Because the answering of Amen is part of your Bracha. That's what it says in the Gemara, and that's how Rashi explains that Gemara. So if the Amen is considered as if it's part of the bracha, then the word Geffen is not the last word of the sentence, so to speak, in a certain sense. But that's what he quotes as a sharpened explanation of the Sfardish minig. But that's not by the Ashkenaz. We don't have that minig. Our minig is that we say Borei Pri HaGafen. In yeshiva, there's one boy who got so excited about this explanation. Loved it so much that every Shabbos when he says Kiddush, he says Borei Pri HaGafen. So everybody laughs because that's not our minig. The Gemara in the end of Psochem points out that the Nusach HaBracha, the chasima of the bracha for Kiddush and for the Kedushas HaYoyim in the Shmoneh Esrei on Shabbos and on Yom Tov is different. That on Shabbos you just say Baruch Atah Hashem Mekadesh HaShabbos, and on Yom Tov you say Baruch Atah Hashem Mekadesh Yisrael VeHazmanim. Why this distinction? So the Gemara explains that Shabbos is Kodesh from the time of Sheish Yismei Bereishis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world in 6 days and he rested on the seventh day. And then he was kaveya that every seventh day should be Shabbos. So it doesn't matter whether there are Jews on the scene or not. Even before the Jewish people emerged, even before Avraham Avinu was on the scene, Shabbos had a Kedushas Hayom. So you just say, Baruch Atah Hashem, Mekadesh HaShabbos. Hashem Ken Yontif, Yamim Tovim, do not have a Kedusha on their own without the participation of Bnei Yisrael creating the Kedusha. We have to have the Bezdin be Mekadesh to Rosh HaDoshim and Mela, determining when the Yontif is. And some Rishonim even explain in the Gemara in the end of Baba Basra, and the Gemara says in Perek Yesh Nechlin that the Moadei Hashem Tzrichim Kiddush Bezdin, so the Shikim Kubetzis quotes an interpretation from the Rabbeinu Hanano, that it's not sufficient that Bezdin should declare when Rosh Chodesh is, and Mela we will know when Yontif will be, that Yontif will be, Pesach will be on the 15th, and so on. In addition to the Bezdin declaring when Rosh Chodesh is, Bezdin has to declare on Pesach, today is Mekudesh B'Kedushas Pesach. And even today that we don't have any Bezdin declaring when Rosh Chodesh is, we don't have any Bezdin declaring when Yom Tov is, but the Gemara still says that somehow the Jewish people participates in creating the Kedushas Hayom of the Rosh Chodeshim and of the Yomim Tovim. Exactly how? That's a question. The Ramban is of the opinion, there's a machlokes, the Rambam and the Ramban, and the Sefer HaMitzvos regarding the mitzvah of HaChodesh HaZavachem, that was Parshas HaChodesh that we read on Shabbos. So the Ramban's opinion is that in the days of Hillel Hasheni, they declared which days will be Rosh Chodesh and which days will be Yom Tov until Mashiach will come. Because they knew in the days of Hillel Hasheni that they're not going to have smicha, there won't be any continuation of smicha, there's going to be quite a hafsoka until Mashiach is going to come. So they were koveya, they had a whole luach, and they were koveya at that time that these days should be Rosh Chodesh and these days should be Yom Tov. So in effect, according to the Ramban's understanding of what's going on, we have a Kiddush Bezdin on all the Yamim Tovim and all the Rosh HaChodeshim, and everything was declared by the Bezdin. Which year will be Hashanah Muberis, which year will be Hashanah Pshuta? The Rambam disagrees. The Rambam says that it's not that the Bezdin in the days of Hillel Hasheni was Mekadesh all the Rosh HaChodeshim and all the Yamim Tovim years in advance, and they determine which year should be Hashanah Muberis, which should be Hashanah Pshuta. How could they do that? Sechadov Shlob Ali Olam. Mira Bezdin 1500 years ago declared that Shnas Tavshim Mem Tes is going to be a Shana Moberes and that Rosh Chodesh is going to be on this day. You can't be Mekadesh a Dovah Shlob Ali Yerlam. This month didn't even come yet. If you're holding on that year, you can be Mekadesh, you can declare this year is a Shana Moberes. If today is Rosh Chodesh, if today is the day it's supposed to be Rosh Chodesh, you can say, we hereby declare that today is Rosh Chodesh. How can you declare years in advance which day is going to be Rosh Chodesh? So the Rambam disagrees with the Ramban. And he says that it's not that the Bezdin in the days of Hillel Hasheni was Kovei in advance, it's rather that Bnei Yisrael will live in Eretz Yisrael. That's what he writes. The Bnei Yisrael will live in Eretz Yisrael. Today, in the days of the Ram, there weren't so many Jews living in Eretz Yisrael. Today there a little more, a larger number of Jews. So the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael today are the ones who are making the Rosh Chodeshim into Rosh Chodesh and making the Yamim Tovim into Yamim Tovim by their Nihuk, by their being noyed that this day is Rosh Chodesh and that day is Yom Tov. Their Nihuk makes it into Rosh Chodesh and into Yom Tov. Then the Ram adds on a line in the Sefer HaMitzvos, Mitzvah says the Kuf Nun Gimel. It's a famous line that the Achrenim discussed, Avnei Neiz and many others. The Rambam writes, and if Chas V'Chalila, one would visualize that there wouldn't be any Jews in Eretz Yisrael who would be observing Rosh Chodesh or Yom Tov, even if there would be Jews in Eretz Yisrael, but they wouldn't be observant, and they wouldn't be koveya which day should be Rosh Chodesh and which day should be Yom Tov, then the whole system of the calendar would collapse. We would continue to have Shabbos, but there wouldn't be any Rosh Chodesh and there wouldn't be any Yom Tov. So the fact that we still maintain today the observance of Rosh Chodesh and Yom Tov is due to the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael. That they are knowing on Rosh Chodesh that it's Rosh Chodesh and on Yom Tov that it's Yom Tov. So in effect, the Gemara says, in effect, the Kedushas Rosh Chodesh and Yom Tov is determined by the Jewish people. So that's why we recite the Baruch Atah Hashem Mekadesh Yisrael v'Rosh Chodesh. in the davening on Rosh Chodesh, or in the davening on Yom Tov, or in the Kiddush on Yom Tov, you say Baruch Atah Hashem Mekadosh Yisrael v'hazman, and because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mekadosh Yisrael, who in turn are Mekadosh Tzman. Mashenik in Shabbos, we have nothing to do with Kedusha Shabbos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when He created the world, established by Baruch HaLikim HaSiyam HaShvi, by Yikadosh also, He was Mekadosh Ola Shabbos and way in advance. So the Mefarshim point out on the Siddur that that's why the Nusach of the Kiddush on Yom Tov doesn't begin the same as the Nusach of the Kiddush on Shabbos. On Shabbos you say, Shekir Shalom HaMitzvah Yisrael, V'rat Zavon, it's like a Birchus HaMitzvah. Shekir Shalom HaMitzvah Yisrael, like every Birchus HaMitzvah. On Yom Tov, we have to first declare that we are declaring it as a Yom Tov. We have to make it into Yom Tov. Anihug, according to the Rambam's opinion that is. According to the Ramban, it has already been declared as a Yom Tov many years ago by Hillel HaSheni. According to the Rambam, we today are declaring it as Yom Tov. And even according to the Ramban, that it already has been declared, we still start off with the bracha, Hashem Baruch Abonim Mikolom. That there was a Bechiras Yisrael, and because HaKadosh Baruch Hu singled us out, and He gave us the power of HaChodesh Zalachem, the ability to be Mekadosh Chadoshim, and to be Mekadosh Yamim Tovim, that's why Vatitan Lanu is Chag HaMatzos Hazeh. He gave us the Yom Tov after first choosing us, and giving us the ability to be Mekadosh Zman, He gave us the Yom Tov. It's interesting that we use the expression Baruch Abba Mikolam V'Ramamana Mikol Lashon. Lashon means a nation. Lashon also means a tongue, or Lashon means a language. So why do we use that Lashon? Why do we use that expression over here? V'Ramamana Mikol Lashon. It's just a repetition of Baruch Abba Mikolam. So the Sfasemis in his Drush Sefer on Chumash suggests the following explanation. It's interesting. It's the Gemara has in the end of Shabbos an Agadah, where one of the Amoraim asks the other, on what does the world stand? What keeps up the world? The Mishnah says, Al Shlosh Advarim Ha'olam Ha'imed Al HaTorah Ha'avel Al Yilas Chasonim. So what's keeping, whose learning is keeping up the world? Our Shir here in KJ or someone, who's learning? So the Gemara says, the Kinyaki Shal Beis Rabba, the little children in Cheder who are learning. So Abayi asks, I think, Rav Yosef, what about my Torah? What about your Torah? Only the Tinei Kishal Beis Rabban. So the Rebbe Rav Yosef answers, no, that the Torah that the Talmidim and the Cheder learn is much more pure, because they haven't soiled their mouth with Machloikis, with Lashon Hara, with Sinas Chinam, with Brachas Levatale, with Nivol Peh, whatever, Lashon Hara, Rechilas, whatever people use their mouths for improperly, soils the mouth. So the Mele, when they learn, when all the people learn Torah, so their Torah is not as pure as the Torah that the little children learn. So the Sfasemis has such a comment over here as well. He says that the Ramamana Mikol Lashon, we refer to the Jewish people as a nation, and we refer also as a nation using the term Lashon to signify that we want to be Mekadosh Zman. HaKadosh Zalachem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the ability to create the Kedusha Yom Tov, not Kedusha Shabbos as Kodesh Mayela, but to create the Kedusha Yom Tov and to create the Kedusha Rosh HaKadoshim. So we mentioned that we would single that as a Jewish people, Ramamana Mikol Lashon, not just as a people, Lashon Taka as a Lashon, as the ability to speak. So we should be careful, Taka, to maintain pure speech so that when we want to be Mekadosh the Yamim Tovim with our Lashon, I'm saying Mekudosh HaChodesh and so on, it should be a proper Kedusha. On the second day Yom Tov this year, we're going to be saying Havdalah as well. The Gemara makes a big fuss about that. How do you recite all of the brachas in what order? So the Gemara gives you the Rashi Tevis is Yaknaha, is Yain Kiddush Ner Havdalah Zman. So we recite the Bari Miori Hoesh. Many have the minig that when you recite, the Gemara says in the end of brachas that Lechatchila it's preferable to use an avuka to recite the bracha Bari Miori Hoesh Hametzoy Shabbos. An avuka means that you have a torch. So that's why we usually use a special Havdalah candle that has many wicks on top, and the flames all blend in together. What if you have two candles, two single candles that are near each other, and the flame doesn't blend in together? Does that constitute an avuka or not? So it says in Hilcha Shechita, of all places, it says in Hilcha Shechita that that's an avuka. Why is it in Hilcha Shechita? Because there is a Gemara in Chulin that lahatchila you're not permitted to shech balayla because it's dark. So if you don't see what you're doing, how are you going to make it an avela? Unless you have an avuka and you're shechting near the avuka, so then it's okay. You have the lights on, so nighttime is the same as the daytime, so you can shecht at night. So what's the definition of an avuka? So Rabbi Kivega there in Hilcha Shechita quotes the Achrayim who say that avuka doesn't necessarily have to be the way we have a Havdalah candle where all of the wicks are so close that the flames blend into the one gigantic light. Then if you have two single candles that are near each other, if you have one candle one end of the room, one candle the other end of the room, that's not called an avulka. But if they're near each other and it causes an additional amount of light, so that's also considered an avulka. It's permitted lachatchila to shech palaylo liyor avulka. So the same as on Motzei Shabbos, the minig is that you blend the two candles in together. But strictly speaking, if you don't want to, you don't have to. So on Yontif, Shechali is the Motzei Shabbos, then you have the minig that when you recite, I remember once in Yeshiva, Motzei Shabbos, the Bochum didn't know how to say Bar Miyari Reish. It's like Yeshua next. Rosh Hashanah, it's one of the days of Rosh Hashanah, was on Motzei Shabbos. I was eating in Yeshiva. They didn't know how you're supposed to say Abdullah. So I told them, just take the two candles. They didn't remember from the mother's home. Religious people, they didn't remember from the mother's home. If you take the two candles and you say Bar Miyari Reish. The only question is whether you blend the two together. So Rav Soloveitchik used to say over that many Achrayim have such a minik, in Europe they have such a minik, that you don't blend the flames in together on Yontif, you just leave the two candles the way they are, near each other, because Mikar Adin, that constitutes an avulka. What's the Kepeda? In the Lubavitcher Haggadah, they also quote like that. The Lubavitcher minik by the Lubavitcher Rebbe always was that they wouldn't blend the two flames in together. What's the Kepeda? So Rav Soloveitchik, I remember, used to say, that is havara shalom tzarech. That on Yontif, if you're only permitted to do a malacha if it's necessary. If it's not necessary, say you don't do. So here, if the candles are burning well anyway, so why should you make a bigger flame by doing a havara unnecessarily if you can say the bracha b'arayish the way it is? Others write that they don't think that it's a havara shalom tzarech. They write think that it's a kibui shalom tzarech, because if you're going to have the two candles together, some of the wax is going to drip down. And if you lose some of your wax, then the candle is going to burn a shorter amount of time. So the time that it's kibui shalot tzarech, whatever it is, either it's havara shalot tzarech, or the opposite, kibui shalot tzarech. The meaning was, in many communities, they had the meaning that they did. When Yonta falls on Motzei Shabbos, they would put the two candles together and blend them in together. In many communities, they were makpid bedafkin atu.
Assuming you have these frosted bowls, so
many poskim hold that you can use an incandescent bulb if it's not frosted, right? If it's a clear bulb, you can use that for Dorimir Hoyesh also on Motzei Shabbos, right? So then it would be preferable, let's say when it's Yontif, it would be preferable not to go out of your way unless you bench licht anyway. Bench licht can have candle on the table. But the light candle, especially in order to be able to say Bar Mir Hoyesh, that's not right. If you have an electric bulb that you can use, you should use that.
You also mentioned that the Egyptian would have that it's light before. Because I think you like that Shabbos that you don't make this all cancer of electric light is on all over. So you don't make the profit.
I mean, when you bench lift, when the woman benches lift, so she shouldn't bench lift in a room that's fully lit.
We don't use that for Abdullah, we use the same either.
No. So Abdullah, you can have a light that was burning the whole time, that's not a problem. No, when you light...
You have to shut it off, and then you put it on again to make the bracha.
No. With the order to say a bracha, lahalik neshal Shabbos, lahalik neshal Yontif, that says in the Tesis, and it's called in the Shulchan Aruch, you have to have a dark room, and turn on the lights, or light the candles in such a way that it illuminates the room. But if the room is all lit anyway, it's flooded with light from the lamp on top, and then just going to light the candles, so that's a big problem. How do you... There's no Tosefis Oro. So you can't turn off the lights on Yontif. It's a malacha of Kibbutz. You have to bench lift in a different room. You have to light candles in a different room.
But
Bar Mir Hoyesh is no problem. No, in order to have the contrast between the darkness and the light, no, that's for drama. No, Yikra Adin, you don't need that. Yikra Adin, you don't need that. In the biography of Rabbi Chana Vatsanin, they write that he was once in London raising money for his yeshiva in Baranovich. So he was staying by Achsid Shiid, I think at Belza, so he was staying by Achsid Shiid on the Shabbos. And then on Matzoi Shabbos, they're about to say Abdullah. So the Achsid Shiid had all the lights on and they had a candle, they're going to say Abdullah. So Rabbi Chana Vatsanin said that by him and the yeshiva, they were makpid, that they would turn off the lights first and they would only have the flames, so everybody would be able to be nana. So the Chassidus Shiit didn't take the insight. He says, by us, the meaning is not sun. He just went right. We have the meaning that we leave the lights on. He didn't take the insight. He didn't take his recommendation. It's interesting that on Rav Soloveitchik said he remembers when he was once in Vilna that on Matzoi Shabbos, Rav Chaim Moiser would be Mahader, Bedavke, to recite Bori Miori Hoesh on an electric bulb, Bedavke, and not on a regular Havdalah candle. Because the Maharsham, who was one of the Gedolei Apostolim 100 years ago, writes in his tshuva that turning on electric bulbs on Shabbos It's only a malacha of the Rabbanim. He thinks that it's not a malacha of Havara and HaTorah. Rav Chaim Moshe writes in his sefer that he thinks that that's wrong. He doesn't write in his sefer. He's quoted as saying. He's quoted as saying that he thinks that that's an Issa Deraisa. So in order to stress that he thought that it was Eish, 100% Eish, that if you turn on an electric bulb, you're violating Havara, so he would go out of his way to say Bar Niyari Eish, and Matzoy Shabbos over an electric bulb. They quote also the Rav Chaim Brisker, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik also. Rav Soloveitchik didn't mention that, but in Svarim, they quote the Rav Chaim Soloveitchik would also recite Bar Niyari Eish on electric bulbs. Other person hold that you can't. Moshe Feinstein and others hold that you can, but many hold that you may. The nusach that we recite in the Havdalah usually is Hamavda Mekodesh Lechol. And when Yantav falls out on Matzoy Shabbos, then we recite the bracha Hamavda Mekodesh Lechodesh. It's important to keep in mind, we shouldn't think that all of life is so simple, there's just Kodesh and Chol, and everything that's Kodesh belongs in the same boat. That's not so. There are chilukim within Kodesh Gufa. There's Kodesh Chomer and Kodesh Ka. Such detailed chilukim, the Gemara even says that Sefer Torah has more kedusha than tefillin, tefillin has more kedusha than mezuzah. The Gemara says within tefillin, the tefillin shal rosh has more kedusha than the tefillin shal yad. Even though the Sefer Torah has more kedusha than the tefillin that we understand has more parshias, and the tefillin has more kedusha than the mezuzah has more parshias, but the shal rosh has more kedusha than the shal yad because it has the shin on the outside, and because of the giloy. So the Gemara goes into such detailed madregas of kedusha. What's that? Is one thing Gemara just say? There's kodesh and there's chol. So Rav Soloveitchik once explained he couldn't say like that because everything really in the world is kodesh. If the Rabbanu Shlom is kodesh, he created the world. So like the Mishnah says in the first parak in Cheres, Hayotzei Min HaTohor is tohor. If you have a kosher animal, gives that milk, so the milk is kosher. If you have a kosher bird, lays an egg, so the egg is kosher. So Yotzei Min HaKadosh is also Kadosh HaKadosh. Baruch Hu created the world, so Mustam, everything that he created also has Kedusha. Except that there are different levels of Kedusha. So we call everything that has a very low level of Kedusha, we call Chol. But really everything has Kedusha. It's a lower level of Kedusha. If the Kedusha is more obvious and more apparent, then we call it Kodesh. So everything in the world is... it's not that anything is Chol. Everything is Kodesh Chomer versus Kodesh Kal. So that's what tipped off the Chachamim in the Gemara, that you have to look for all the different levels of Kedusha in the world. And it's important to keep in mind the hierarchy of Kedushas. What's more important than what? I like to say over from Pascal, that he writes in one of his in his book, Hans Day, he writes that someone can have a taina against me that I wasn't mechadish, and he wrote a book on philosophy. So he says, someone can have a taina. I didn't say anything original. Every idea that I have is printed in another book. Every idea appears already in another book. So he says it's not a taina. You can have the same taina against the poet who writes beautiful poetry. So you can taina that every word that he wrote appears in the dictionary. So what's the chiddush? The chiddush is up the name. The chiddush is the arrangement of the words. I put this word first, that word second, this word third, and it comes out like this. So that's the chiddush. So he says the same is true in ideas. Even if you subscribe to the same 1,000 ideas that I subscribe to, you have a whole different system. You put this idea on top and that idea on the bottom and this one in the middle, and I have everything completely rearranged. The same 1,000 ideas, but in a different arrangements and a different sequence. So then it gives a whole different picture, an overall picture, and it gives every idea this may ask for a different meaning. So that's what he says about his philosophy book as opposed to others. In fact, he's repeating ideas that appear in everyone else's books, but the arrangement of the ideas present a different notion. That's the same over here. Amavda mekodesh lekodesh, it's important that we all subscribe to all the Taryag mitzvahs. We have to know which mitzvahs are more important than others. Some people hold that Medinis Yisrael is the biggest mitzvah in the Torah, and you can forget about Shabbos and Kashrus and Taras HaMishpach, and Medinis Yisrael is the end of everything. And other people feel that Medinis Yisrael is all the way on the bottom. You have all the Taryag mitzvahs, the Raisa, and all of Dinim Derabbanan, and all the Minhagim, and everything, and all his mirrors. And after you fulfill all the Minhagim, then Medinis Yisrael is on the bottom. And other people have a proper perspective. Medinis Yisrael is in the middle there. It's one of the mitzvahs in the Torah. And you have to have the proper perspective. Same is true as far as all the mitzvahs. Comes all the mitzvahs. You have to have everything within perspective. On Pesach night, the Tanoim wanted to encourage Kidei Sheyishalo Hatinokas. They wanted to encourage that the children should ask a lot of questions. So normally, when you recite Kiddush, you have to have Kiddush b'makom suda. You have to eat right away. On Pesach night, also you require Kiddush b'makom suda. That's a mistake that a lot of people make. Not a lot of people. Sometimes, let's say when I know in my community, I live near Columbia Presbyterian Hospital, so a lot of times people's wives have babies in the hospital, so they make Kiddush and they have half the Haggadah, they make half the Seder at home, and then they go to the hospital to finish the rest of the Seder there. So So the din is that if they say Kiddush here, they're going to eat the matzah over there. So that's not Kiddush Makom Suda. People don't think about it because you don't say Hamotzi until half an hour later. But that on Pesach night, that's considered Kiddush Makom Suda. On a Friday night, it wouldn't be Kiddush Makom Suda. Friday night, you're not supposed to sing Zmiris or be Mapsik with anything in between the Kiddush and the Hamotzi. On Pesach night, that was the Takanos Chachamim, that you should say all of this, but not, or anything else that blends into the Haggadah. But some to schmooze about other things, to have a whole conversation, even where there's no Issa Hepsik. There's not an Issa Hepsik every step of the way. In the middle of saying a bracha, there's an Issa Hepsik. But there are spots where there's no Issa Hepsik, but still you're not supposed to have long conversations because you require Kiddush Malakum Suda. So on Pesach night, we don't start eating right away. We dip the karpas into salt water, Kedesha Yishalo Hatinokos. And in order to be able to dip the karpas into salt water, the Gemara says that whoever is going to dip in has to wash until Tilus Hidayim. What's that all about? So the Gemara explains that this is a takana satanayim, that whenever you eat some fruits or vegetables that are moist on the outside, they were rinsed off. Let's say you're eating grapes or apples that are rinsed off and they're still wet on the outside. So there is a Xera Derabban that was one of the 18 Xeris, where the Gemara says in the first parak in Masechta Shabbos, Beishamayad voted Beisila on the Yudches Gzeres, on the Yudches Dola. So one of them was that Stam Yodayim Shnir saying that the hands, that unless a person just came out of the mikveh and just washed until the Siddayim, the hands are always considered Temeim to the extent of a Sheni Latuma. And then there's another Gzeres the Rabbanon that if a hand which is only a Sheni is a Din, if the hand touches Trumas, it passes a Truma. The Truma can become a Shlishi. And then the Tanoi made another Gzeres, whatever passes Truma, if the person, let's say his hands, if he would touch his hands to Truma, it would pass a Truma. He wouldn't be permitted, coin wouldn't be permitted to eat that Truma or Kochim. So if he touches water, any one of the Zayin Mashkim, so that Mashkim becomes a Rishon Latuma, becomes more Tomei than the hands. The hands were only a Sheni Latuma. So the cloud was whatever passes Truma will be Metamei Mayim to become a Tchilo, to become a Rishon Latuma. If the water will become a Rishon Latuma, then the grapes on which the water, the droplets of water appear, will become a Sheni Latuma. So it will become a Sheni Latuma. So then if you're going to eat it, you will become Tomei. So you'll become Tomei. So the world's not going to come to an end, so you will become Tomei. So in the days of the Beis HaMikdash, that would pose a problem. People wanted to be Tahor in order to be able to enter the Beis HaMikdash, in order to eat Truma, in order to eat Kochim. People had to be Tahor. So this Man HaMikdash, this would be a problem. So there was a Takana Satanoim that you have to wash Tilos Yadayim with a bracha Shekedushan Shalom Tilos Yadayim before you would be about to eat the Dovish at Tivul B'mashke, so that when you would touch the Mashke on the outside of the Pri, you won't be Metame yet, so the Mashke won't be Metame the Yochel, and you're eating the Yochel, won't be Metame you. That's another Gzera Derabbanan, that whoever eats Ochel Tameim or drinks Mashkim Tameim becomes Tame. That's called Tumas HaGviyo, Tumas HaGuf, that by eating Menatera there is no such thing, that if a person eats Ochel that a Tame, his body becomes Tame. How can Ochel Mamashke be Metame and Ochel doesn't exist? But the Rabbanan made such a Gzera. It's all in the first parak of Masechta Shabbos. So Tosfos has a Machlokes with the Rambam whether this din applies Bizman HaZeh. The Rambam's opinion is that the Gemara seems to say that there was a takana satanai, so it even applies Bizman HaZeh. Aye, the whole reason for the takana doesn't apply. We're all Tmei Mesim anyway. Everybody went to a funeral at some time or another. And even Kohanim, who only go to relatives, even if it's a young Kohen, never went to a relative's funeral yet. He must have come in contact with somebody else who went to a funeral. So everybody's Tmei Ben Kovako. So the Rambam says, even though the reason for the takana doesn't make any sense, Bizman HaZeh, but Kach Tikna Chachamim, that before eating a dovish at Tavul B'mashke, you have to wash your hands and say a bracha, al natilus yadayim. And that's how the Vilna Gaon passes. You have to wash with a bracha before eating a dovish at Tavul B'mashke. And the, let's say you want to dip a piece of a cookie in some coffee. That's also dovish at Tavul B'mashke. Or if you want to eat apples or fruits that are moist and they weren't dried off, that's a dovish at Tavul B'mashke. And Taisis disagrees with the Rambam, and Taisis says that this takana only applies this man that the people in Israel on Tumah V'Tara, but Bizman HaZeh, that everybody's Tumah anyway, that the whole takana doesn't make any sense, so you don't have to wash it all. So you're permitted to eat the Dovish at Tavul B'mashke Bizman HaZeh without washing it all. So because of this dispute, whether this takana the Rabbanon applies Bizman HaZeh, that's why we make this achro, that we wash without a bracha, because according to Taisus' opinion, you don't even have to wash it all. So you can leave out. It's not Kadesh Urchatz Karpas, it's Kadesh Karpas, and there is no Urchatz. Taisus didn't have Urchatz. And according to the Rambam, it's not just the Urchatz, it's the same as Rochzo. You've got to wash with the bracha. So because Tosis' opinion is that you don't have to wash at all, so if you say a bracha, it'll be a bracha l'atonah, so we pass from Sabbath brachas l'akil, you leave out the bracha and you wash without a bracha. That's a question, what do we do all year long? What about today, if you want to eat some fruits or vegetables that are rinsed off, so you also have to wash without a bracha? So the Taz, in his comments, in his commentary on Hilchas Pesach, points out that on Pesach night, everybody knows you have to wash with Dovashet to Gulub Mashke. So he says, Mikan Tochachas Megulov, from here you see that all year long we do wrong. That people always eat fruits or vegetables or they dip in cookies into milk or into coffee or tea. And they don't wash before eating the Dovashet to Gulub Mashke. So he says that it's not right. When you eat, let's say, Cheerios or Wheaties, then it says in Shulchan Aruch, you don't have to wash because you always eat it with a spoon. So you don't plan at all to dip your finger into the mashke. But if you're eating, let's say, if you're dipping a cookie into the coffee, and you may dip your finger in too far, so then you have to wash, even though you don't plan to dip your fingers into the coffee. But eating a breakfast cereal, since the normal way is to eat it with a spoon, so then you don't have to, then for sure you don't have to wash. But let's say if you're eating fruits that are rinsed off, and in order to spare yourself the trouble of washing, you're going to eat it with a fork and a knife. You're going to be careful to cut up the apple with a fork and a knife and not to touch it. So then, since Shulchan Aruch doesn't help. The only way, the only time you can avoid washing for Dovah Shetz Gula Mashke is if the derech is to eat it with a spoon. Like a cereal. The derech is to eat it with a spoon.
Gloves
is also not right. It's also not right to avoid the takanas chum by wearing gloves. The Gemara has it in there that if a person is so far away from water and he wants to eat a sandwich and, and he's starving, and it's going to take him a long, long time till he comes to civilization, he's going to have water, so then it's not, people think that if you have the sandwiches wrapped up in a piece of paper, it's sufficient. Said the Shulchan Aruch, that's not good enough. If your hands are wrapped up in gloves, if your hands are wrapped up, then we allow you to eat the bread without Netilas Yadayim. If you're mountain climbing or something like that, you don't have any water available. But the L'chatchila is not right. If you have water easily available, then you're not supposed to rely on it well. The what? Don't you have to do the mashke? So the Taz says... So that's the shayla. Here I have... That's the shayla. That's the shayla. So here in the Art Scroll Haggadah, they explain, it says on the Urchat, the head of the household, and then it says, according to many opinions, all participants in the Seder wash their hands as if you were about to eat bread. So this is really a machlokes and achron, who has to wash before karpas? Karpas, everybody eats karpas, but who has to wash in advance? So some early achronim write the minig that many yekis have in my community. A lot of yekis have that minig that only the father of the household washes and the other people don't wash. Because it's only a zechet to the way things were in the days of the Beis HaMikdosh. But it's not that we're machron dovet shetulul b'mashke, the whole mikrah, then you don't have to wash. And apparently in Eastern Europe, they never heard of such a thing. The Taz, where the Taz writes, everybody used to wash. They held like the second day. And he says that it's a riot that everybody should wash with Dovah Shetavul B'mashke. And all year long, the proper thing is that you should wash without a broch. You should always wash without a broch.
What if you rinse the food off now but not eat it until it's dry? Is it only that's the when you eat it?
Yeah, then you don't have to wash. Then you don't have to wash. Even though you were just metame it. You were just metame the water, the water was just metame the fruit. But that was the takanas chacham, that you don't have to wash it. Yeah.
You once said a few years ago that the Rambam said that you're supposed to wash when you're eating fruit because it's wet.
The Gemara says that one who washes for peiros, harezen ligase haruach. That it's an act of arrogance. You're not allowed to wash for fruit. Unless the fruits are moist, that they were just washed off. Then it's a dovish at the bulu b'mashke. But the Rambam says you have to wash for the bracha before eating the fruits. Correct? Yeah.
But usually you have to wash for fruits anyway.
Right, so the shayla is, are you going to dry it off before you eat or not? So if you didn't dry it off, then the Taz claims that all year long we should observe the din that's written in the Shulchan Aruch, like the Rambam. The Rambam says that you say a bracha. And the Dovah Shetavul B'mashke, the Vilna Gaon Taz is mamish like the Rambam. And the Shulchan Aruch, it doesn't say straight like the Rambam. It says that you should wash without a bracha. And every Dovah Shetavul B'mashke.
But you don't have to wash this started with a cup three times, right?
Twice, like before bread. As they state, that before your arts call. You wash your hands as if you have a bread. No. You wash like bread. You wash twice over here. They tell over the story about the Yeshuvenik, that he was about to wash before Karpa, so he said, Ashek Rishon, Sasavit Sivanu. That's all. So the kid asked him, "What is? Well, what do you do?" So he said, "It says the Ferris. You wash and you don't say on the Tillis you like." So every year I say it over in the yeshiva that the Talmidim should know what the din is, that it doesn't mean that. It means that you don't say a bracha at all. It's not that you say the whole bracha up until on the Tillis you like. It's a pachad joke. Yeshiva next, no? Yeah. Then the Mishnah says that you have to have some yirokas. The Magen Avraham says yirokas are green vegetables. That's what he says. Even though to say bar pri adama, you can say bar pri adama on a tomato, you can say on a banana, you can say on a potato also, but the Magen Avraham says it should be a green vegetable. Who says it should be karpas? That's what it says in Rashi's Haggadah. Kadesh, this comes from Rashi. Kadesh, yuchatz, karpas, yachatz, haggadah, maimonides, bottom of the Rambam quotes that from Rashi. He was the one who instituted this... Seder. So the word karpas comes from Rashi, from the Gaonim. What is a karpas? What vegetable is a karpas? So you've got to know a little Arabic. So the Chasam Sofer writes in Tshuva that his Rebbe, Rav Nos Nadler, was very interested in knowing what the original karpas was. What did the Gaonim use as karpas? So he asked people who came from the Middle East, and they told him that the word karpas in Arabic means celery. So he was always makbid, to use dafke celery. For the karpas. So the Kivega quotes the Yerushalmi that for Yerokas, when the Mishnah says, the Mishnah of the Gemara never says it use karpas. That's a lesson that the Rishonim have. The Goyim and the Rishonim say karpas. And they give a simon that it's the Shishim Rebo, did avoid as perech. So the word karpas is a simon of stamach perech. So they're making simonim on an Arabic name of a vegetable. The word doesn't appear in the Gemara, the word karpas. It's an Arabic word. I don't understand why they felt compelled to make such simonim on an Arabic word. It's not because Rashi and the Gaonim included it into the Haggadah. I don't know. So Rabbi Kivegir on this sim in the Shulchan Aruch, when it says in the Shulchan Aruch you should use vegetable and say Borpi Adonma, and the Magen Avraham says that it should be green, so Rabbi Kivegir quotes the Yerushalmi that it says you should use petrezel. That's why many have the minute to use parsley. Right. But if you use a potato, it's also good. When you say the bracha Borpi Priho Adonma, so the Tesis says you should have in mind to cover with this bracha the maror as well, because there is a dispute among the Bali Atesis when you eat the maror in the middle of the meal, is that covered with hamoitzin? Normally when you say hamoitzin, you eat a whole meal, so whatever you eat, whatever is drama by machm sasud is covered with the brach of hamoitzin, you don't require another brach. Here on Pesach night, the question is that which normal person, let's say, eats horseradish. If you're going to eat horseradish, you're going to eat romaine lettuce, let's say romaine lettuce, or whatever endives, whatever people eat, most people normally wouldn't eat this in the middle of the meal. So they're stuck on Pesach night, they have to eat it. So let's say a person in the middle of the meal wants to have a l'chaim, he drinks schnapps. So you don't say that the schnapps is covered with the hamoitz. The schnapps is not dvar ma'boy machmas hasudas. You have to say, not a taste of night. The schnapps is all year long, a person, someone got engaged, they had a baby, or got married, whatever, want to drink a l'chaim in the middle of the meal. So if you drink wine, the gemara says you have to say bar pi algofen is sefer. That's a gemara, the bar pi algofen is not covered with hamoitz. What if you're drinking schnapps? So theoretically, schnapps should be covered with hamoitz. The only thing is that it's not dvar ma'boy machmas hasudas. So then you would have to, if it's a toast, then you would have to say a shahakal separately on the schnapps. There's a machlokes in achrayim if you have schnapps after fish. The meaning is that whenever you have fish before you have flesh, you have schnapps in between. So that's a machlokes achrayim. Is that called v'amaboy machmas hasud? Because that's the meaning that you always have schnapps in between fish and meat. So somehow that's called machmas hasud. Machlokes the kitzur shulchan aruch and somebody else. I think the Bala Machabe kitzur shulchan aruch said that it's not called v'amaboy machmas hasud. You have to say a separate shahakal on that schnapps. Another rachamim is saying no, that since that's the menu, that's always the menu by from a yidin that they have schnapps in between the fish and the meat. So that is called vama boy machmas hasud. But that's the yisik and schnapps. What about a Pesach night eat maror, which doesn't really fit into the rest of the meal? He said, well, see, so let's get down to eating the meal. So the people aren't interested in eating these endives and this romaine lettuce. The horseradish is certainly not interested in eating. So maybe, so you only have to eat it because it's a mitzvah on Pesach night. So since it doesn't fit in with the rest of the meal, so one opinion of Tosfos is that you have to say, you really ought to say Bor Pri Hadamah. But because of a technicality, Tosfos quotes Rabbi Yosef Tovelin, because of a technicality, we are unable to recite Bor Pri Hadamah prior to eating the maror. So we say the Bor Pri Hadamah when we have the karpas, and we have in mind that this should cover the Bor Pri Adama of the Maror as well. What's the technicality? What's wrong? Why can't you say Bor Pri Adama? So Tosfos quotes Rabbi Yosef Tovelin, what are you going to say? Two brachas before you eat the Maror, Bor Pri Adama, then you're going to say Allah Ilas Maror. That's a violation of Einos Mitzvos Chavilos Chavilos. So you can't recite two brachas on the same piece of vegetable. I, we do it all the time. You say, Hamoitzi lech menorah, and alachilas matzah. So he says, no, you have two matzahs. You have a shleima and a prusa. So Hamoitzi lech menorah goes on the shleima, and alachilas matzah goes on the prusa. But you don't say two brachas on one piece. So, but you have to say Bar Pi Adoma on the maror. So that in order to solve that problem, you say Bar Pi Adoma before the karpas, and you have a mind to cover the maror. The other opinion of Tosis is that it's not going to work, that it's not so, and it's not going to work. It's not so because on Pesach night, even if you personally are not interested in eating this horseradish, or you're not really hungry for endogs, but since the Torah says, Amatzis and Ram Yachlu, you have to eat it, so the halacha says that tonight, that's part of the meal. That's on the menu. Tonight, it's Ram Abay Machnas Hasuda. Tosis and Brachas and Tosis and Psalm has two versions of this. One version of Tosis is that the vegetable blends into the meal in a normal fashion. The other version of Pesach is not that it blends into the meal normally. The halacha says that it blends into the meal. That on Pesach night it's declared as part of the meal. Whichever it is, Pesach presents this opinion that you don't have to say Bar Pri Hadoma before you eat the maror. And they say that and if you would have to say Bar Pri Hadoma, the bracha that you recite before the karpus wouldn't help to cover the maror because it's going to take such a long time in between the karpus and the maror, it'll be a Hesach Hadas. And the other opinion that I saw is that that's not a Hesach Hadas. You know now when you say the bracha of Rabbi Adam and the Karpas that you're going to have more later. So there is no Hesach Hadas. So because of this dispute, it says in the Shulchan Aruch the following. You should go to Chumra in both directions. So when you say the bracha Bari Pri Adama, everybody should have in mind, and the one who's saying the Haggadah should say, everybody should have in mind now when you say Bari Pri Adama that this is going to cover also the Mara that they're going to eat later on after the Matzah. However, it says in the Shulchan Aruch, they recommend that you shouldn't eat the kezayis of karpa. Some people are so starved, they're so hungry. Even though they ate by the sim cheres in the morning, but they're still hungry. So they start eating a lot of potatoes, whatever, they fill themselves up before the meal. So that's not right. It says in the Shulchan Aruch that you're not supposed to eat a kezayis because it'll be a suffix, bari nefashis, whether you should say brach achrein or not. If the bari pri hadama that you recite before the karpas covers the maror as well, and you don't say bar nefashis after eating the karpas. You didn't finish eating yet. You plan to eat more vegetables in the middle of the meal. And the birchas hamazon at the conclusion of the meal will cover both the karpas and the mara. If you hold, however, that there is a hesach hadas, like the other opinion faces, then if you would really eat a kazayis of karpas, so then you should have to say bar nefashis after the karpas, because the eating of the mara later will not be a continuation of the eating of the karpas now. So because of this dispute,
I
eat something, then I'm going to wash for a soup. I don't have to make a burner version. I can make the mention will cover the burner version, but I have to make it before. No, let's say a person has a cup of tea, and then he says, because I'm not, it doesn't cover. It only covers like this. If I have a cup of tea, then I decide I want to eat. And then I plan to have tea in the middle of the meal also. Since the tea in the middle of the meal will be covered by the birchas hamazon, and the tea in the middle of the meal is a hemshech of the tea before the meal, so then the birchas hamazon covers everything. Then you have to say bar nefashis before, or ala michya, whatever it happens to be, and then wash and start the meal.
Right?
It says in the Shulchan Aruch that you should have a little wine in the middle of the meal because of this consideration. Even those who don't have a little wine in the middle of the meal, we assume that since you require kiddush b'makom suda, so the kiddush is really part of the suda. Even though you drank the wine before you had amaitzi, it's also considered part of the suda. So in the Shulchan Aruch, they recommend l'chatchila that you shouldn't have a kezayis of karpas. The Rambam of the Arach HaZoker writes that when you have karpas, you should have a kezayis. Why? Apparently he thinks that the chachamim are misakin, that this is one of the mitzvahs achiv on Leil Pesach. For whatever reason, no misakin. And the second kadesha yishalo hatinokas, in order that the children should maintain their interest throughout the reciting of Haggadah, they shouldn't fall asleep, whatever it is, but they're on the second that you should eat karpas, so you have to eat it, kezayis of karpas, that's what it seems from the Rambam. However, on the bottom of the Rambam, the Haggadah Maimon, he quotes in the name of the Maharam Rutenberg, that he says there's a misprint in the Rambam. He says, if you look later when the Rambam writes that you eat matzah, and then he writes that you eat maror, so by matzah he writes you eat a kezayis matzah. By Mora, he says, you say the bracha alachidas Mora. He doesn't say that you eat a kezayis Mora. Isn't there something fishy over here? By Karpas, he writes that you have to eat a kezayis. By Matzah, he says you have to eat a kezayis. By Mora, he doesn't write you have to eat a kezayis. So the Haggadah Slamini quotes in the name of the Maharam Rutenberg, but he thinks that there's a misprint, that line that says in the Rambam that you should eat a kezayis Karpas really belongs later by the Mora. They should eat a kezayis Mora. But the Rambam would also agree that you don't have to eat a kazayis karpas, and therefore the Maharam recommends that you shouldn't. But that you shouldn't eat the kazayis karpas because of this machlek. Nope. So those in order din should be medaktik, not to eat the kazayis karpas. Some of the people are taka hungry, so it's on Pesach night. It's not right to go give them a hard time, tell them that they're not allowed to eat the kazayis. There is a machlekes among the Rishonim whether the karpas should be eaten by Hasevo or not. Not the famous Rishonim, it's not Rashi and Tosef, it's the Abu Dram with the Sefer Amani, I like it, the Rishonim that we usually don't look in when we study Gemara. So they have a dispute whether the karpas should be eaten by Hasevo or not. So some Achrayim recommend that you should eat karpas twice, in order to be able to avoid opinions. But you shouldn't eat a kazayis cholila, otherwise you're going to get involved in the Sabbath Brach. They're going to say, eat a tiny bit to Haseva, eat a little bit to Haseva, nunu. That's quite a chumra. There is also a shayla in Rishonim and in Achronim. Let's say one person is reciting the Haggadah on behalf of all the Bnei Bayis. In the days of the Gemara, that was the common practice. The Gemara is a bit fairish. In the last parak in Tzochim, the Rav Yosef used to recite, the yeshivas used to be open on Pesach, like in Valozhin. Valozhin Yeshiva was open on Pesach, and all the Talmidim ate by the Netziv Seder. And they all write over stories the way they remember, the way the Netziv sang this Nigin, they said this, and they said this Shigotar and that, and everything that appears in the Netziv's Haggadah is what he used to say by his Seder in the Yeshiva, in the big Yeshiva. In fact, Rav Kook writes also about, he used to tell over Rav Avraham Yitzchak HaKohen Kook, the chief rabbi, who lived way 50 years ago, he also used to say over different things that he heard from the Netziv by the Seder and reminisce about what the Seder was like. So the in the days of the Gemara, they also, the yeshivas were open on Pesach, and the Talmidim used to eat by the Rebbe, and the Rebbe would proper the Seder. He would say the whole Agvar, the Talmidim wouldn't say a word. They would all be yaitzu with Shemei Koine. Some Achrayim somehow forgot that Gemara. Some raised the possibility that you can't say Shemei Koine by Haggadah. You can only say Shemei Koine by Kiddush, by Avdolah, by Birchas HaMazon, when you're talking to the Rabbanu Shalom. Then you can say Shemei Koine. By Tkiyah Shofar, okay. But let's say by Duchening, the famous tshuva that the Beis HaLevi has. Let's say there are two Kohanim go up to Duchen, and one of them has laryngitis, and he just can't talk. So Rabbi Shlomo LeVilna writes, the older brother, Rabbi Shlomo LeVilna, writes in his Sefer Reishis Bikurim, that the Kohen who can talk should say the both Kohanim should have their hands stretched out. The Kohen who can talk should say the Baruch Sivrecha, Hashem Yishmerecha Atla. And the other Kohen should be Yotze, which are Meir Kohen. Why not? So it'll be considered. No, it's considered as if he said, whenever you have a mitzvah of Amira. He's disagreeing with the Vilna Dayan. He was a big Dayan in Vilna, Rabbi Tzal Vilna. So he says he saw in a certain sefer, he doesn't say the name of the sefer, that you can say, you can allow Shemei Kaina by Duchenin, and he explains that it doesn't work, and he gives that svar. That when can you say Shemei Kaina? When you have to recite Kiddush, Avdolah, or Kiyah Shofar, read the Megillah, something like that. But whenever you have to speak to somebody else, so if you have to have a relationship between the two people, and the other person doesn't hear you, he only hears the other kind say the Bracha, Yibrach Hashem Yishmerecha, so you're not Yotze the Duchenin. So some time that according to that svar of the Beis HaLevi, if he's right, that the whole idea of Duchen is Amor Lahem Kodem Hamadabra El Chaveiro, and you don't allow Shemei Koine whenever you have to speak to somebody, so you shouldn't allow Shemei Koine by the Haggadah Leil Pesach, because the Mishnah says in Pesachim that Lichatchila, the proper way to fulfill Sipitzis and Shama Pesach night is that you should tell to the children. The children should ask Manishtan, and you should tell the story of Adam Hayin and so on. If he doesn't have children, then his wife should ask. And if he doesn't have his wife, then someone else should ask. And if worse comes to worse, there's mamish, nobody there, and he's eating all by himself, so then he asks himself, and he gives the answers himself. But you see that Lachatchila, the mitzvah b'shlei musa, is to tell over the story to others. So he's supposed to tell it to others, and everybody has the mitzvah of Sipi Tzitzin Tzayim HaPesach night. So how can you say Shemei Koine, that is considered as if everybody told everybody else? Where's the Amor Lahem? Where's the Kodem Haim Lahavir? That's what some Achrayim developed the whole notion. So the later Achrayim point out that it's against the Gemara. The Gemara says black and white, that you do allow Shemei Koine. The Gemara in fact has the whole discussion that Rav Yosef was a Sagi Nor, he was blind, and he recited the whole Agoda Balpeh to be Moitzi, his Talmidim, based on Shemei Koine. So the Gemara raises the objection, how could he be mitzi them if a cotton or a cherish or a shofar will blow, a woman, let's say, will blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah, she won't be able to be mitzi everybody else because the women are not mechuyev in the mitzvah. A cherish or a cotton is not mechuyev. And the Gemara derives from a pasuk that the Gemara claims that a blind person is potter from Tzipi and Tzias Mitzrayim. So since a blind person is potter from Tzipi and Tzias Mitzrayim, because it says Bavu Zeh, Asa Hashem Leib, it says Mitzrayim, Bavu Zeh means something that you can point to. And even though you can pick it up, even though Rav Yosef can pick up the matzah in the Gemara, but since he can't see it, so that's a chisaron of Bavu Zeh. That's how the Gemara said the favorite. So the Gemara time is that a blind person is potter and atur from Tzipi and Tzias Mitzrayim, the most of these mukhid is only the Rabbanon. So the Gemara time is, since Rav Yosef was a Sagi Nohor, and he wasn't mechuyev min haTorah in the midst of Tzipi and Tzias Mitzrayim, and how could he be mitzi the Talmidim based on Shemei Kohenev? If the Mishnah says in Rosh Hashanah in the end of the third parak, the Mishnah mechuyev b'davar, and the motzi asachem midoy chayvosan. So the Gemara answers to this taina that Rav Yosef is of the opinion that nobody b'zman hazeh is chayv in Tzipi and Tzias Mitzrayim min haTorah. Everybody's only mechuyev in the Rabbanon. So he's mechuyev in the Rabbanon. They're mechuyev in the Rabbanon. Everybody's equal. Why is no one mechuyev? The whole mitzvah of Hagod is only the Rabbanon. Because it says in the Chumash, Bavu Zeh Asa Hashem Leib Yitzeis Mitzrayim, and it says in Hagad Bavu Zeh Vamach, Abu B'Shar Shish Matzah Maror, Munochim Lufanach, you have to have something there. So Korban Pesach, we don't have Bizman Hazeh Munochim Lufanach. And Maror, the Gemara says, it's only with the Rabbanon Bizman Hazeh. Because Maror is only with the Torah, Bizman Shabbos Hamikdash Hayakai. Bizman Hazeh, Maror is only with the Rabbanon. What about Matzah Bizman Hazeh? Is Matzah Bizman Hazeh in the Torah, is it also with the Rabbanon? So that's a Machlekes. Machlekes Amorim, the very end of Psalm, Dab Kufchot. So we pass in the matzah b'zman hazeh as menater, because we have an extra pasuk that says there of tochel matzos that it's a separate chiyuv. That not only is matzah mitzvah b'toras achsheri de pischo, you should eat it in conjunction with the korban pesach to enhance the fulfillment of the mitzvah of korban pesach. Like maris achsheri de pischo, it's the way to fulfill the mitzvah of korban pesach b'shnei muso. But in addition to that, matzah is also a mitzvah b'fnei atma. So even b'zman hazeh, but we don't have any korban pesach at all, we still have the mitzvah of matzah menater. And Rav Yosef holds not so. Rav Yosef holds like the other Amoraim, that matzah b'zman hazeh is only with the Rabbanon. So if matzah is only with the Rabbanon, and Mora is only with the Rabbanon, and Korban Pesach doesn't exist, so you can't say Bavu Zeh. So nobody has any mitzvah of Tzipi Yetzias Mitzrayim in HaTorah. So Rav Yosef says, hey, I'm just as mechuyev as everybody else. We're all mechuyev in Tzipi Yetzias Mitzrayim in the Rabbanon. Nobody's mechuyev in HaTorah. But halacha l'maaseh, the way we paskin, that matzah b'zman hazeh is their raisa. So all of the other people in the yeshiva, all the normal people who are able to see, would be mechuyev in are mechuyev in matzah min haTorah. So mainly they mechuyev in Tzipi Yetzias Mitzrayim min haTorah, because you can't say Bavu Zeh. There is matzah munach lufanechla on the level of the raisa, and the summa is only mechuyev mid the rabbanan and Tzipi Yetzias Mitzrayim. So the summa would not be able to be mitzi the other people. Let's say all year long a blind person can recite kiddush, to be mitzi everybody else. There's nothing wrong. There's one opinion in the Gemara that the summa is part of mikolah mitzvah. So summa is only chayev mitzvah mid the rabbanan. If you were all like that, then a blind man wouldn't be able to blow shofar to be mitzi everybody else, wouldn't be able to recite kiddush to be mitzi everybody else. But Ruba, the Ruba of the Pasuk, don't accept that opinion. Morgan Avram quotes this one day in the Rabbeinu Yeruchim, the Pasuk is like that sheet of Rav Yudah, the Tana, that assume as part of the Kol HaMitzvahs, and is only Chayim the Rabbanim. But the other Rishonim don't pass like that. So we assume that blind people are just as mechuyev, and all the mitzvahs they rise as everybody else, with the exception of Tzipi Yetzias Mitzrayim, because the Gemara says that assume as part, it says Bavu Zeh. But does that mean something that you can look at? Not enough that you can shake it. You can look at it. Because the Gemara quotes the pasuk there, it says by a Ben Sora Mora. The Gemara in the end of Pesachim quotes. It says by Ben Sora Mora, V'tov sabo avivi imo. And they bring the kid to the bezna and they say, V'dein is esorer mora. So the Gemara says, V'tov sabo avivi imo. They should grab hold of the son and bring him to the bezna prat legidman. If the parents don't have hands and they're unable to grab hold of their kid, so the child is not mechuyev, he doesn't get the yonish of Ben Sarmar. And then they say, B'neinu zeh sarer marez, zeh means that they're able to see him. So if the parents, if either parent is a summa, either parent is totally blind, then the son will not be able to become a Ben Sarmar marez. So you see that even though the grabbing hold of the kid with tops the ball, nevertheless they can't say B'neinu zeh if they're blind. You can't say zeh on something that you can't see. You have to be able to hold it. But if it tops the ball, you have to hold it, then you have to be able to see it. So the Gemara says on Pesach night, even if you're shaking the matzah in the mortar, if you can't see it, if the person doesn't look, let's say he's in such a great ecstasy that he's saying the whole Haggadah Baal Peh, and he closes his eyes, that's no good. The Gemara says you have to have your eyes open and see the matzah, or see the whatever it is that you have on the table. So the Gemara says explicitly that you do say Shemei HaKoyne. That's what the later Rachamim said. The Gemara says explicitly you do say Shemei HaKoyne on CPNC is inside my Pesach night. Hayatzatayna, how can you allow Shemea Koine by CPNC is inside if the din is that Lachatchilah should be Lesaper Lachir? So Mistama, the answer is Poshet, that it's only, that we already gave the answer, that's only Lachatchilah. The Mishnah itself gives the answer. Lachatchilah, the mitzvah Bishlei Musa of CPNC is inside is to tell a story to somebody else. Kana Bein Shoel, Mein Lo Bein Ishto Shoel Osa. Mein Lo Isho, so Acherim Shoel Mosa. Mein Acherim Imo, who Shoel Yatzmo? So then, but what's the last level? What's the fourth level? If there's nobody else there, the person is making the Seder all by himself. So he says to himself, Manishtan, and he says the whole answer. So you see that you are able to fulfill the mitzvah of CPT, Mitzvah Pesach Nai, even if you're not Mesapel Acher. It's just the Din Lachatchili should be Mesapel Acher, but that's not the essence of the mitzvah. It's not the same as Duchening. Let's say the Kohen is all by himself, and he's going to duchen. So if there's nobody there, that the bracha should be chalan, you can't duchen. Let's say there's a shul kulo kohanim. All the people in the shul are all kohanim. The din is you have to have a minion. The Mishnah says in Megillah Daf Chof, you can't have duchening without a minion. You have a minion. All 10 people in the shul are kohanim. Everybody's kohen. The Baal Tefila is also kohen. So he's going to turn around. They're all going to turn. They're all going to say a bracha. So the Gemara says you can't give a bracha to nobody. The Gemara says that the bracha is chalan the am sheba soda. The bracha is chalan the people in the field. That the Gemara says only if there are people in shul, it's chalan them. Then agav that the bracha is chal on the balabatim in the shul, so it's chal on the am shebasadas as well. But if there's nobody in the shul to give the bracha to, so then it's makir b'diyevet. You have to have a molahem korem hoyim alahaver. That's how you know you have to face panim keneged panim. You have to face the people and recite the bracha to them. So there, the Beis Halevi Tainis, you can't allow shamei koine by duchening if the one kohen has laryngitis and the other doesn't. So let them both hold their hands, and the one is able to speak should say yivrecha Hashem yishmerech, and the other one will be yaitzah with Shemei Kainah, so the Beis HaLevi Tainas HaChomish can't do that, because where's the Omor Lahem? It's not Kodem HaOmer LaHaver. That's because by Duchening the Omer LaHaver is Likuvah. That's essential. If you're not going to be Medaba LaHaver, it's not called a Bracha. A Bracha means that you speak to the person, not that you say from a distance. We say to the farmers, we give them a Bracha. That's a Tefillah. A Bracha is when you give Panim, Keneged Panim, give the person a Bracha in person. If he's not here and you want to be Mispala for him, so that's not, over the telephone is also in person stuff. But if he's not, you're not speaking directly to the person and he can't hear, that's a tefillah, that's not called a bracha. So there where it's essential to the duchenik to have kodem ayim ala haveiro, so there we wouldn't allow shemeh koin according to the Beis HaLevi. But here, it's not essential, it's just the mitzvah bishlei musa is to have kodem ayim ala haveiro. Why is it taka that the mitzvah bishlei musa by Sipi Yitzis Mitzrayim is that you should tell it lacher? If it's not me'akev, if b'diyevet, you can be in the mitzvah of Sipi Yitzis Mitzrayim. Even if ain't shem acherim who shoy liatzmo, and he gives the answer himself. So why is it that lachatchila you have to have that is medaber lacher? Pirsumei nisa. Let's say on Chanukah, is there a requirement that you should light dafke? You light by the window that other people should see. Yeah. Could be. It could be. So later you used to say another answer. Along a different mahalach. He used to say that the Mishnah says that on Pesach night, the way to fulfill the mitzvah of CPT Mitzrayim is to recite the parsha of Aram Yavid Ovi and to darshan it. So he thought that that's likuvah. That if you're not going to recite a parsha from the Chumash and darshan it, let's say you just tell the children the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Just baal peh. So he thought that wouldn't be sufficient. And if you just read from the Chumash, it wouldn't be sufficient. And then just say Torah Shabbat, that also wouldn't be sufficient. From the Mishnah would appear that the only way to fulfill a mitzvah is by reciting some Torah Shabbat and darshaning it with Torah Shabbat. And that's what we do. We recite the Psukim, Aram Yavud Ovi, and then we break down the Pasuk to its different phrases, and then we darshan, and every phrase in the Pasuk, Kavar Shenemar, Malamed, and so on, Shenemar, we quote Psukim to explain what every section of the Pasuk means. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that the mitzvah of Sipit Tzias Mitzrayim on Pesach night can only be fulfilled in the form of Talmud Torah. It's a special prat within the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. In fact, that's what some... And that's perhaps why it has to be the Higadat Levincha, because the Iker mitzvah of Talmud Torah is to teach your children, to teach your own children. It's interesting, the Rav used to say, if you look in the Rambam in Hilchas Talmud Torah, the Rambam has something very strange. He says that everyone is mechuyav to teach Torah to other people, and then we have to learn ourselves in order to be able to teach other people. We would have said that they're two different mitzvahs, no? We would have said that to learn Torah is one mitzvah, and then after you learn everything, then there's another mitzvah to teach Torah to others. The Rambam doesn't write like that. The Rambam writes based on the Gemara. The Rambam quotes it from the Gemara in Kiddushin. At the end of the first page, there's a mitzvah, the Lamed Torah L'Acherim, And then whoever is mechuyev l'lamed Torah l'acherim is mechuyev to learn himself. The Rambam quotes from the Gemara that women are not obligated to teach Torah to others, so they're not mechuyev to learn Torah for themselves. They're only mechuyev to learn the dinim in order to know how to observe the mitzvah satar. They're not obligated to learn all those dinim that are not relevant to them, because they're not mechuyev to teach to others. So the mitzvah begins with teaching, transmitting the Torah to others. He said on different occasions, when the Rabbanu Shel Olam originally created Adam and Chava, so there weren't too many people around, so he gave them a mitzvah, Pru Revu, Umiru Asarit. So that mitzvah, the Gemara said, should apply to all the Umas Olam. The mitzvah Pru Revu applied to the Nachrim as well. There were no Jews. And after Matan Torah, the Gemara says, the mitzvah was changed, and it only, Mikar Lahaboy, after Matan Torah, it only applies to Bnei Israel, it doesn't apply to the Nachrim. And the Pashto says that the nature of the mitzvah also changed, that after Matan Torah, one only fulfills the mitzvah if he gives birth to children and he educates them and he teaches them Torah. He transmits Yiddishkeit to the children. A person just brings babies into the world and he doesn't give them any Yiddish chinuch, doesn't fulfill any mitzvah. The mitzvah of Puruv, we have to mind in Har Sinai, the whole nature of the mitzvah changed. It's no longer mitzvah Milos Haaretz L'Chiv Shua. The original mitzvah was Puruv Milos Haaretz L'Chiv Shua, to conquer the whole world, to study science and to try to investigate as much of nature as possible. But after Maimon HaSinai, the Rabbanu Shlomo decided there are enough people in the world and there's enough science, not mechuyev anymore to Milos Haaretz L'Chiv Shua. And he only repeated the chelik of the mitzvah, Pru Revu, for the purpose of transmitting the Masorah of Torah to the next generation. And that's why the Rambam seems to imply that, Ben Azai, a person who's nafsho chashka b'Torah, and he just feels that he's not cut out for marriage, he doesn't want to get married, so the Rambam seems like he says, it will teach Torah to other people, so this will be a partial kima mitzvah of Piru Verivya. Or the Chavetz Chaim writes, based on the pasuk in Yeshaya, Kom Arashem Lasarisim Asher Yishmuru Shafsai Vahuru Bashar Chav Machazi Kim Bivrisi. Those who are Sarisim, those who don't have children of their own, they should support yeshivas. Why? Because the ikar of the mitzvah of having children of Piru Verivya is to transmit Torah values to the next generation, to be mechanech the next door with Torah. So if one doesn't want to get married, or one is married and is unable to have children or whatever, so then he should at least fulfill the partial kima mitzvah of adopting children and teaching them Torah, or supporting yeshivas and teaching Torah to other people. So the ikar mitzvah of Talmud Torah is to be moiseh Torah l'acher. So that's perhaps why over here on Pesach Nai, the ikar mitzvah is the higadah to levincha, to tell your children. The ikar mitzvah of Sipi Yitzchias Messiah is not so much just to be excited about the nisim and the flaws, but rather, it's a chelik of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. That's what Rav Soloveitcher used to quote the Shibolei Aleket in his commentary on the Haggadah comments. Why is it that before we start Keneged Abba Barim Dibra Torah, that there's a mitzvah of Sipi Yitzchias Messiah Yikit to your children, so we recited Birchas HaTorah, Baruch HaMalkim Baruch Hu, Baruch Shalasim Torah Lam Yisrael Baruch Hu. As if it's a form of Birchas HaTorah. We already said Birchas HaTorah in the morning. When you wake up in the morning, you said Birchas HaTorah before you learn. So why do you repeat again now a form of Birchas HaTorah? So the Shibol HaLeket says part of this, and Rav Soloveitchik enhanced on the theme, that the Rishonim quote in the name of Rashi, that when he would wake up in the morning and learn before Minyan, he would recite Birchas HaTorah. And then when the minyan came to shul and they would all say korbanos all together in shul after the Birchas HaShachar before Baruch Shama, he would repeat Birchas HaTorah again. We don't pass like that, Rashi. We pass like that once you said Birchas HaTorah in the morning, it covers all the learning you're going to do in that day, unless you're going to get an aliyah. To get an aliyah, then you have to repeat again Birchas HaTorah. But Rashi's opinion was that you have to recite another Birchas HaTorah when there's going to be Talmud Torah B'tzibur. Because the original Birchas HaTorah that you said when you were learning for yourself and no one else was around, that was on Talmud Torah B'yochid. And now that you're having a new form of Kiyum, Talmud Torah, namely Talmud Torah B'tzibur, Talmud Torah B'rabim, everybody's reciting Korbanos together, so you have to recite a new Birchas HaTorah. So perhaps on Pesach night, since the Chachamim were conveyed that the Mishnah says that the way to fulfill the mitzvah of Sipi and Tzias Mitzrayim is a specific form of Talmud Torah, to have Torah Shebichsav with Torah Shebapeh combined together to recite the Parsha of Arami Avrodi and to darshan it, bidiyev, but if you didn't do that, so Rabbi Gamliel says, you would be yotz, as long as you say Matzuzu Shanach Mal Shemo and so on. But l'chatchila, the mitzvah b'shleimus is to recite a Parsha from the Torah and to darshan, and that's what we're about to do. So perhaps since now we are required to fulfill a specific form, a unique specific form of mitzvah Talmud Torah, and maybe that's why we recite now another form of Birchas HaTorah. And maybe that's why the mitzvah Bishlei Musa is v'hikara de levincho, to give over the Torah to your children. Because that's the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, l'marta mosmos b'nechem. And maybe that's why the ikar mitzvah is, if you don't have bonim, the ikar mitzvah is l'lamed l'acherim, Because the Iker of Talmud Torah, the Rambam quotes based on the Gemara, that strange Gemara in Kiddushin, that the Iker Mitzvah of Talmud Torah is not to learn for yourself, but rather Lamed L'Acherim. And a Chelek of Lamed L'Acherim to transmit Torah to others is that you should learn in order to know what you're transmitting. But the Iker Mitzvah of learning Torah is to transmit. There is a Gemara at the end of Brachas, but the Gemara speaks about Cherev al Pasuk in Yeshayim, the end of Yeshayim, Cherev al Habadim v'Noalu. So the simple reading of the Pasuk is, the simple pshat in the Pasuk is that by a lot of the other religions, the Pasuk there is referring to the Egyptian religion. And their religion, the priests would hoard all of the knowledge for themselves, and they insisted on keeping the masses in the dark. They didn't want to educate all the masses. So they would only have very few people who know how to read and how to write and to know what the religion is all about, and they wouldn't spread the religion to the masses. They didn't want everybody to know everything. So the Pasuk says, Cherev al Abadim in Olu, that it's a terrible thing, the Badim, the people who keep the knowledge all for themselves. So the Gemara says that the Pasuk is speaking about an Avodah Zarah, some other religion, but it applies to the Jewish religion as well. Cherev al Saneim Shal Tamid HaChamim. Means a curse against those Talmid HaChamim. So instead of saying a curse on Rabbanim, they say on the enemies of the Rabbanim. It means Cherev al Saneim Shal Tamid HaChamim Shalomdim Bad Bevad. Those who learn bad bevad, they learn all by themselves. So what does it mean? One who learns without a chavrusa should be cursed. Many people throughout all the generations, many gedolim learned without a chavrusa. Many people enjoyed better learning by chavrusa. Many people enjoyed better learning without a chavrusa. Gemara says for most people, ain't a taranik nisela by chavrusa. That it's hard to be matzeich and learning unless you learn with someone else and you talk out the issues. It's hard to figure everything out on your own. But some people are just not nitfas in learning by chavrusa. They learn by themselves much better. So there's such a terrible curse on those who learn without a chavrusa. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that the Gemara does mean that. Different Mefarshim give different interpretations on that Gemara. What is the Gemara referring to? Talmid HaChamim will learn bad bevad, they learn all by themselves. So the Mesillas Yesharim says a pshat, and it means that they learn and they are so abstracted from the real world. They're not in touch with reality. They don't read the newspapers, they don't know what's happening in politics, they're not up with the times. But that's what the Mesillas Yesharim says. That's the curse that the Gemara interprets the Navi is giving to the Talmid HaChamim, who remove themselves, they go sit and learn in the yeshiva, and they don't know what's going on in the world. And others give other pshat. So Rav Soloveitchik interpreted that the pshat was the following, that the Sefer Hasidim speaks about how terrible it was that the Talmidim of the Bali HaTosis all used to listen to the shurim of their Rabbein, and they would keep notes, and they wouldn't lend the notes to other Talmidim from other yeshivas. They would hoard all the chidushim. They wanted to be the only one who had this chidusha Torah, and they wouldn't want to share it with the public. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that maybe that's what the Gemara is referring to. Cherev al Saneim Shal Tamid HaChamim Shalomdim Bad Bevad. That they try to learn everything on their own, and to hoard the knowledge, they don't want to share the knowledge with others. That one is not permitted to learn Torah unless he plans to transmit the Torah to others. The Iker Inyan of Liman HaTorah is Lelamid LaAcherim. And Lilo Madliatzim is only in order to enable you to be Lelamid LaAcherim. You're not, the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't give you permission to learn Torah unless you plan to transmit all of the knowledge that you get to other people. So I thought that maybe that's the Gerer Adin on Pesach night, that the Iker Mitzvah Bishleim, the Iker Mitzvah Lachatchila Deraisa of CPTS Mitzrayim is Talmud Torah, the Hainu Lalamid Lacherim, to transmit the Torah to other people, to give it over Lebonim, Lamatam Osmas Benechim. And if he doesn't have Bonim, Leishto Lacherim, because the Iker Mitzvah Talmud Torah is to give it to others. If he doesn't have others, then he can do it on his own, he's surely Atzma, Meshav Liatzma. But since that's only the Iker Mitzvah Bishlei Musa, but it's not Leikuvah to transmit it to others, so that's why here you would apply Shemei Koine to CPTS Mitzrayim. It's not the same as Duchening. But by Duchening, the Odom HaMedabel HaVeira is Leikuvah. There, if you're not speaking to anybody else, if the Koinim are giving the brachas in Shul, and there's nobody there to receive the brachas, so they're just not going to the Mitzvah at all. So there, where it's Ma'akev, that's the essence of the whole mitzvah. Without speaking to anyone else, there's no kima mitzvah at all of duchening. So there, the Beis Halevi Tainis is for that you can't apply Shemei Koine. But by CPTS and something more, so the version that you would apply Shemei Koine. So here there's a big machlokes in the Rishonim. Many families, the minhag is that one person recites the Haggadah, everybody else just relaxes and they sit and they listen. So on Kiddush, it's fine. And the Haggadah Mayinu is fine. Everything is fine. The Shad is, what about the Bori Pri Ha'adamah of Karpas? The Gemara says, that's a brichas mitzvah. So that you can also say the bracha for someone else. What about hamoitzi? Also, I can say hamoitzi if I'm eating and he's eating. You can say hamoitzi. And on Pesach night, the Gemara even adds a greater chiddush. Even if I'm not eating, since the hamoitzi goes together with alachilas matzah, And since the Bar Piragofen goes together with the Kiddush, even if I'm not drinking, let's say I'm just going to your home to recite Kiddush for you, now I'm going to go home to my own house. So the Gemara even says I can be Moitzi you with the Bar Piragofen of the Kiddush, just like I can be Moitzi you with the Kiddush, even though I don't want to be Yoitzi now. So I can be Moitzi you with the Bar Piragofen. The Shaila is, what about Bar Prihadom of Karpas? If one person says, let's say I have a lot of people, not on Pesach, a lot of people sitting and eating potatoes. One person says Bari Priha Domo.
It doesn't work. It doesn't work.
So the Gemara has
only by Kiddush and
Hamoitzi of Alachilas Matzah I can recite the bracha for you, even if I'm not even eating or drinking anything. What if we're all eating together? In the middle of the week, not on Shabbos, you know, nothing to do with Kiddush. So if it's pasa yayin, if it's bread and we're all eating together, I can say Hamoitzi and Mimoitzi others. If it's yayin and I said Bari Priha Domo, the Gemara says I can be Mimoitzi. What if we're drinking beer? What if we're eating potato chips? Can I say the bracha to be moitzi everybody else or not? So the Gemara has two lashonets, and it's an achlekes, the Rambam and the Ravid, and there are two opinions in the Shulchan Aruch what the din is. So the Rambam paskins that on other foods other than pas and yayin, you can't recite a bracha to be moitzi anybody else. Even though I'm eating myself, we're all eating potatoes now, we're all eating karpas. I can't say Bar Priha Domo to be moitzi other people. And the Ravid paskin is the reverse, that on Pasin Yayin, you require Haseba, that everybody should be sitting at the same table. And if we're drinking soda, or we're eating potatoes or something, even if I'm not eating at the same table, there is no Haseba, we're more makel there, and I can say the Bar Priha Domo to be made to the other people, even though there's no Haseba, even though there's not one yeshiva. So that's a machlekes, So that's why the paskin say that with respect to the bracha of karpas, the proper thing is, you should encourage everybody to say their own bracha Bari Priha Domo. Even though you'll rely on Shemei Koine for the whole Agoda from the beginning to the end, for the Kiddush and the Bari Priha Gofen and Hamoitzi and Alachilas Matzah and Alachilas Ma and everything, Avodah Mayinu, but for the Bari Priha Domo of Karpas, that's a big shayla. The Rif and the Rambam happened to paskin that you can say Bari Priha Domo to be Moitzi other people for Karpas even if you're not eating by them. That's a Kiddush. Even if you're not eating. Apparently there was a practice that the Balabatim had no Haggadahs, or they had Haggadahs, they didn't know how to read, whatever it was, so the rabbi had to go Prava the Seder by every Balabazazal. So the rabbi would go home from shul, and on his way he would run through the Haggadah by one Balabaz, and then run to the next home and recite the whole Haggadah, and he would say the Baruch HaGofen and the Kiddush and everything, and he wouldn't eat, he's going to have to eat at home, he wants to have Kiddush Mokum Suda. His wife and his children are waiting at home. So he would run through the whole Haggadah. So the Rambam quotes from the Rif, and the Shulchan Aruch quotes that. He can say Bar Priya Gofen with the Kiddush, and even though he's not drinking the wine. That's the Gemara. He can say Amoitzi and Alachilas Matzah, even though he's not eating. And they have to drink, right. And then the Rambam quotes from the Rif, and the Shulchan Aruch quotes, he can say Bar Priya Domo for Karpas, even though he's not eating the Karpas. He can even say Yotza Moitzi, he's not eating at all. So that's the Kiddush, the Rambam and the Rif, and the Shulchan Aruch hold that this is considered part of the Haggadah. That on the whole Haggadah you say you can be Moitzi other people. And others on the bottom, on the Shulchan Aruch, the Kivege quotes those who question this. This is very difficult. That you can say, Bar Priya Domo to be Moitzi the other people on the Karpas. It's even a question if you're reading together with them, whether it's proper that they should rely on your bracha. Maybe everybody should say their own bracha. So that's why some poskim can point out that with respect to the Karpas, you should try to be more everybody that they should say their own bracha. Or Bar Priya Domo. So again, the whole purpose of the Karpas, according to the Gemara, is just Kadesh Yishalu Hatinaikas. To keep the children's interest. And then right after the karpas starts the magid. You start the haggadah. How do you start the haggadah? So bizman hamigdosh, we learn out in the pasuk b'avizeh, you only have the chiyuv to recite sipiyotzis on Pesach night if you have something there. Let's say the person doesn't have a korban pesach, no matzah, no mor. So then he has no mitzvah in the Torah. Let's say he's a Jew in prison, in Siberia or something, and he just doesn't have any matzah, mor, or anything. So then he only has a mitzvah of sipiyotzis mitzrayim mid the rabban. He has matzah, so we pass on that matzah is min haTorah. So then the sipiyotzis mitzrayim is min haTorah. You have to have some bavuzeh. You have to speak about the story of yotzis mitzrayim in connection with some tangible object. One of the mitzvahs alayla. His man amigdosh then it points out, and his bira chumish. And Parshas Boy and Parshas Achodesh. There's man amigdash that they had the Korban Pesach, so that was the Iker. So they would have the Korban Pesach on the table, and they wouldn't start off Hol Achman Yudah Hol Avasan. They would say, this is the Korban Pesach that we brought on Erev Pesach, and then they would start Manishtan. And this man hazeh, that's why it's an Aramaic, because this was composed in Babel after the Churban Bayis Sheni, when they no longer had the Korban Pesach, so they had to change the nusach of the Haggadah. That's how the Rambam writes. The Rambam writes for Farish. And this is the nusach of the Haggadah that was composed in Babel, Holach Ma'anya. That's why it's in Aramaic. This man HaMikdash, they didn't say Holach Ma'anya. They started off, this is the Korban Pesach that we brought, and then they say Manishtan. And this man hazeh, as a substance, instead of having Babuzeh, Korban Pesach, so you start off Babuzeh, you have the Lachmanya. So because we have Magid and we say Holachma Anya, you have to, that's why it's called Lechem Oni. The Gemara says Lechem She'onim all of the Varim Harbe. That you have to tell the story of Sipi Tzir Mitzrayim in connection with the Mitzvah of Matzah. That's Bizman Azetz, Lechem She'onim all of the Varim Harbe. Bizman Amigdash, she didn't need the Lechem Oni for the purpose of Sipi Tzir Mitzrayim. You could leave the Korban Pesach there the whole time. You didn't have to have Dabke the Matzah. But Bizman Azetz, you don't have any Korban Pesach. So you have, if you want to fulfill a Mitzvah Magid, you have to have some one of the mitzvahs halayla, and Marar is only with the Rabbanon. So if you want to fulfill CPT in time in Atara, so you have to have matzah. Matzah is the only thing that we have, as Mana said, that's Minatara. So in order to have matzah, that's why we have yachatz. Who stuck in the yachatz over here? That's what Rashi has. Rashi is this Hagos Maimini on the bottom of the Rambam, quoting Rashi is the first source of the introduction of yachatz. Bizman HaMikdash, they didn't have any yachatz here. They had the karpas. And then they would leave the Korban Pesach on the table. They had already shechted it before and broiled it on Erev Pesach. Then they'd leave the Korban Pesach on the table. They'd say, this is the Korban Pesach that the Rebbeinu Shlomo told us we have to bring on Pesach. And then they would say, Manishtan. Then they would go back. They wouldn't make this declaration, Holach Ma'anya. But the Bizman said, we don't have the Korban Pesach. So you have to have some kind of one of the mitzvahs halayla. So they say, Holach Ma'anya, this is Babu Zeh. Here's the Lechem Shanim Olav Varm Harbei. So in order that it should be called Holach Ma'anya, you have to break it in half. Because the Gemara says, why is it called Lechemoni? Madakishalani bitprusa, Afkam bitprusa. A rich man can afford to have shleimus, and a poor man can't afford to have anything. So he goes around knocking on the doors, asking for nedodah. So the pasuk says, Nishaya, alafrois l'roiv lachmecha, break off a piece from your challah, or a piece from your bread, and give it to the poor man. So you give him a broken piece of bread. If it's a really rich fellow, so give him a shleimah. But usually you only give the pasuk in Shai says you give him a prusa. So since madakish alani beprusa, the poor man usually has a broken loaf of bread. So that's why we first do yachatz. We break the matzah so we only have a part. And then we say a declaration. This is the lechem oni that we have to have in order to enable us to fulfill the mitzvah of CPTS Mitzrayim. But Bizman HaMikdash said they didn't have to have the matzah. They had the Korban Pesach. So they didn't have any yachatz. In fact, the Rambam doesn't have any yachatz bichlal. The Rambam says, yeah, you have to have prusa when you're after you wash the second time the tilis yadayim, and you're about to say hamoitzi. So instead of having two shleimos like you normally have in every Shabbos and Yontif, you should break one of the shleimos and have one shleima and one prusa. That's a machlokes the Rambam and Tosis. That Tosis says that in every Yontif you have to have lechem mishnah, you have to have two shleimos. Some Pesach you also have to have lechem mishnah, but in addition to the lechem mishnah you have to have vadak shalani beprusa, you have to have a broken one. The Taisa says, oh, so you have to have three matzahs. You have to have two shleimis and a broken one. And that's what the Rishonim say. The Aguda writes in his commentary. Sefer Aguda is the Talmud of the Rosh. Writes in his commentary on Gemara Brochas. Gemara says in Brochas that a Pesach night hakol moedim, everybody agrees, sheminech prusa betoch ha-shleima ubotzea. Everybody agrees you put the prusa betoch ha-shleima. What do you mean betoch? So he said it's a riot to Taisa. Betoch means you have two shleimis, one on top and one on bottom. You put the prusa in the middle. So that's Taisa's meaning, that you have two shleimas to fulfill the mitzvah of Lechem Mishnah Zechel Amon. That there was a double portion Amon, and every Erev Shabbos and an Erev Yontem. Then you have to have the Prusa because of Lechem Oni. So the Rambam disagrees with that Taisa. The Rambam says you don't have two and a half, because where's the Lechem Oni? If you have two and a half, so that shows that you're richer than everybody. Everyone else only has one loaf of bread, you have two and a half. So the Rambam says no, that the Lechem Oni is that whereas on a normal Shabbos and Yontem you have two shleimas, on Pesach night you don't have two shleimas, you only have one shleim or one prusa. That's how the Rambam writes. So the Rambam writes, when you make this, the one shleim or the one prusa, you demonstrate that you're not going to fulfill Lechem Mishnah. When do you do this? The Rambam says, right before you're about to say Hamoitzi, in Alachilas Matzah, you take two shleimas and you break one, you have one and a half. According to Pesach, you have two and a half. And then right as you're about to say the two brachas, Hamoitzi, in Alachilas Matzah, then you arrange your yachatz. The Rambam doesn't have yachatz all the way in the beginning. According to the Rambam, where do you have the lechem shleim olav dvarim harbi? You have to say holach ma'anya. The Rambam holds you can have a shleimah. What's this? It's lach ma'anya. It is lechem oni. And our practice is like Rashi, like the Goyim, that we have Yachatz as an introduction to Magid. That you want to start off the Haggadah by showing that you have one of the mitzvahs halaylo, in order to say Babuzel, I might have to show something lefonecho. So the Korban Pesach we don't have Bichlal, and the Maror is only the Rabbanan. So in order to have CPT from Shem and HaTorah, so we want to demonstrate that we have Lechem Oni, so we break a Prusa, and we say that's why it's called Lechem Oni, and we say Holach Manya, this is the Lechem Oni that enables us to fulfill the mitzvah of CPT from Shem. They go and follow the Rambam's opinion, right? That you only have one Shleim and one Prusa. But that he didn't follow the Rambam all the way. The Rambam Shita is that you don't have any Yachatz, Bichlal. Rambam Shita is that you only break it right before you're about to say, brother, the Goyim did like we did. He had first Yachatz and then Magid. The meaning is that you break the middle matzah into two parts and you wrap one part around and you put it away for the Afikoyman. What kind of a meaning is that you wrap it around and you put it away for the Afikoyman? So they quote in the name of Rab Chaim Soloveitchik that the explanation is the following, that the Afikoyman, the Rishonim say, is supposed to be a Zechel Korban Pesach. That we eat matzah twice on Pesach, now we eat three times. You eat first for the Al-Achilas matzah, then you eat for the Koirach, and then you eat at the end for the Afikayim. So the matzah that you eat in the beginning, that has to be eaten with Tayovan. The Gemara says that you're not permitted to eat on Erev Pesach, and then Amin Chalamayla, late in the afternoon, Kidei Sheyachal Matzah with Tayovan. The Korban Pesach was B'davka not eaten with Tayovan, because the Yerushalmi says we're afraid. Mishum Shvira Setzin. There's a special law that only applies to Korban Pesach. It doesn't apply to any other Korbanos. The Etzim Leisishburbo. You're not permitted to break any of the bones of the Korban Pesach. So we're afraid that if the fellow is fasting a whole day in Erev Pesach, he may be so starved that he's going to grab hold of that piece of flesh and he's going to break the bone in order to chew up the bone in order to get the mara. So that's why they made Exer de Rabbanon. That's what Tosis quotes Yisham. Exer de Rabbanon that the Korban Pesach has to be eaten davke nechal ala sova at the end of the meal. That's how the Mephoshim explained the Nusaf that we say in Holachman. We say, Kol Dichvin, whoever is starving, whoever is hungry, Yesevi Echel should come and eat matzah. And Kol Ditzrich, whoever needs, Yesevi Yipsach. You should eat the Korban Pesach. What do you mean eat the Korban Pesach? You don't have any Korban Pesach. And this Nusaf was composed in Bavel. So the Mephoshim say that Yesevi Yipsach means you should eat the Afikoyim. But Yetze, Kol Dichvin, whoever is hungry, should eat matzah. Matzah has to be eaten with the oven. That's a Takhama Satanayim. That you're not supposed to eat min amichal amayla kadesh yochal matzah l'teyavim. But you don't say kol dechfin, whoever is starved should eat the afikoyman. You're not supposed to eat the afikoyman when you're starving because the afikoyman is echel pesach. And the korban pesach has to be eaten dafke al hasova when you're already full, not when you're totally full. So it should be an achila gaso, but you shouldn't be starving anymore. So that's why we say kol detzrich, yesev yisach should eat the afikoyman. Whoever wants should eat the afikoyman. So here, the Rav Chaim Soloveitchik explained that in Korban Pesach there is a din, there's a din in all Korbanos, that Hesach Hadas passes a Korban. That if a Korban becomes Tameh, you're not permitted to eat it. What if you left the flesh of the Korban on the side and nobody was watching it? I shech the Korban and leave the basar somewhere, and there's no one around to watch to make sure that it didn't become Tameh. So even though it most probably did not become Tameh, you should really put it on the Cheskas Tahara, that it was Tohar when we put it there, when we come back and we don't see that it moved, so Mestama, nobody, no Adam Tomei came, and no Sheretz came and brought a Dovah Tomei on top of it, but still there is a din of Hesach Hadas, that if nobody was watching it, so there's a psum, that Mitam Hesach Hadas, since there was a lack of Shmira, so you're forbidden from eating that Korban. The Gemara has a whole dispute in Psochem about the nature of the psul of Hesach Hadas, whether it's a psul b'torah Sofik, it's a Sofik Nitva, Sofik Loi Nitva, even though it really shouldn't even be a suffix. You should follow the Cheskas Tahara. That's the chumer that in Korbanos you machmer more because of the din of Mishmeres Trumoisai. You need Mishmeres by Truman, a Kal V'chomer that you need Mishmeres by Kochim. So you machmer more to treat that as if it were a suffix in Nitma. That's one opinion in the Gemara, Ishlokish. And we pass like Rabbi Yechanan that the psul of Hesach Hadas is not only a psul but a suffix, it's a psul but a svadai. Since there is such a far-fetched suffix, maybe this piece of Korban became Nitma. So it's a psul b'taras vaday. Even if Aliba de Emes, even if Klapi Shmai Galiyat never became Tomei, it's a psul b'taras vaday because there exists a possibility it became Tomei. So that's already a psul b'taras vaday. So because the afikoma that we're going to eat is going to be Zechel a Korban Pesach, so therefore we treat it as if it would have been a Korban Pesach and a Hesach Hadas with Pasach. That's how the Ravid writes on the Rambam when the Mishnah says, if everybody fell asleep, there's a Mishnah in the end of Sof, if everybody fell asleep, and then they wake up in the middle of the Seder, so no one is allowed to eat the Korban Pesach. Why? So the Ravid says, Rashi, the Rashbam has a different shot than the Mishnah. But the Ravid writes on the Rambam because if everybody fell asleep, so the Korban Pesach became nifsal b'hesach hadas. And then the din is that it applies bisman hazeh. The Gemara says that that din applies bisman hazeh regarding the afikomen. That if they started to eat the afikomen, and then everybody fell asleep, and then they woke up, they're not permitted to continue eating the afikomen. Why? They treat the afikomen as if it were a Korban Pesach. So just like the Korban Pesach is nifsal b'hesach hadas, so we treat the afikomen as if it's a korban. It's also nifsal b'hesach hadas. So you got a problem. So that's why the kid has to be careful to hide it in the place that he knows where he hid it. So Rav Chaim Soloveitchik said that's why we wrap up the afikomen and we put it away in a makom meshumar, because you need shmir on karbonis, and we treat the afikomen as if it were as if it were the Korban Pesach. It's supposed to be zeichel the Korban Pesach.
Then it's also not done. The kid put it away. That's called
the kid has to put it away in a safe spot where he knows where it is. Not that it's a young kid and he puts it himself doesn't remember where it is. Or he's going to put it in a place where the mice may come and
beat
it up or
something.
Soon he doesn't
know
where
it is.
Take another one.
Take another piece.
It doesn't have the status.
It doesn't have to be the same.
It doesn't really begin to get the status of afikomen until you begin to eat it. That's afikomen. That's the Mishnah. That if they fell asleep after they began eating afikomen, then they're not permitted to continue eating. If they fell asleep before they started eating afikomen, there's no problem. But this is Liesa says, the minig is that you put away the afikomen, you wrap it up, that should be the shmirah. The Mefarshim point out, why do you say at this point, Hoshata Hocha, this year we are here, the Shana Bo, we'll all be in Eretz Yisrael, in the Beis HaMikdash. What's that? This, it's a tefillah, fine. You should say it in Yirtza, at the end. Or we say it in Asher Ge'olonu, Ken Hashem HaKen Yagienu. What's that? This over here, why do we mention it here? So some Mefarshim on the Haggadah explain why. That we just made a statement, Kol Dichtin, whoever is starving, Yeseh V'yechel Des Shirit Matzeh, which has to be eaten with the oven. And Kol Ditzrich, whoever is not starving, should come and eat the Korban Pesach, which Yesev Yisach, which today means they should eat the Afikomen, which has to be Nechal Ala Sova. You're not supposed to eat the Korban Pesach or the Afikomen when you're starving. You have to eat the Dafka Ala Sova. So we invite anybody to come and participate in our Afikomen. So the Shaila is, but Bizman HaMikdash, you wouldn't be able to invite people to come and participate in your Korban Pesach because it has to be Nechal Menuyev. And it has to be Mamuna on the Korban Pesach before the Shechita. So some of Farshim explained that this really poses a problem. Shouldn't we be afraid that maybe the Beis HaMikdash will be built next year and somebody will remember that he just came in and he ate the afikomen by me, which is supposed to be a zechel of Korban Pesach, he wasn't a mamun on the Korban Pesach, so next year he may barge into someone's home on Leil Pesach and he'll be starving, so kol dichven yeser yechel halit matzah, and then he'll go and halit the Korban Pesach shalolim nuyam. So the Mefarshim, and the Gemara has such examples. The Gemara says that we don't allow eating chodesh bizman hazeh, even though it should be mutter to eat chodesh on Tezayin Nissen on the Yom Tenuf HaSoimer, Yom HaNav HaSoimer, because Meheri Yibana HaMikdash, maybe next year they'll build the Beis HaMikdash, and you won't be allowed to eat chodesh on that day. So we're afraid that people will remember from this year to next year, and next year the story will be different because there'll be a Beis HaMikdash. So how do we allow it on Pesach night? Do we allow such an announcement?
Next year you won't say a lot more.
He'll think he can walk into someone's home and he comes Pesach. So the Mefarshim explained that the Hashash only applies by Chodosh, because even if they'll build the Beis HaMikdash on Pesach, the Gemara says, and they'll bring the Korban Haimer and the Beis HaMikdash, not all the Jews will be living in Eretz Yisrael at that time. Jews will be living all over the world. So the Jews who are all over the world in Golos will remember last year we ate Chodosh on Tezayin Nissen. And this year they'll think they can do the same, and they won't be allowed to, because when you have a Beis HaMikdash Kayam, you're not permitted to eat the new tfu until after Hakrovas Korban Haimer. But when the Beis HaMikdash will be built and they'll be bringing Korbanos, then we say, Hoshata, this year, Hocha, we're all stuck over here in New York. Abu Zashan Abba, we'll all be in Eretz Yisrael, we'll all be in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Rabbanim will already, everybody will be there. So they'll tell us that no one is permitted to eat the Korban Pesach, Shalom in New York. That's how some of Farshim interpret that line. That it's an explanation as to how can you allow an invitation for eating afikomen, which is zechel Pesach, and may mislead people to think that next year when they'll have a Beis HaMikdash, they can just walk in and eat Korban Pesach Shalom. So the explanation is given, no, next year we'll all be there, and so we won't make any mistakes. Chodesh we assume not so, because there is a possibility that the Beis HaMikdash will be built on Pesach and all the Jews will still be living all over the world. So then you have a problem. Those who live all over in Golos, they may make a mistake and eat Chodesh. Maybe we'll leave that next week. We'll continue with the Haggadah. Okay. Yeah. Thank you.